Would you grab your Bibles, your iPad, your laptop, your desktop, whatever you got? Let's hold it up. If you believe it, let's declare it together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same again. I will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn with me to the book of Matthew? The book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. Beginning at verse 24. If you have a Bible that has red lettering, this will be in red, the words of Jesus. Beginning at 24, it says this, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, I thank you again for the price you paid to qualify us to be filled with your Spirit. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are powerfully at work in our life, doing with us what you did with Jesus, making the words of the Father known with clarity so that we can believe them, so that we can say them, and so that we can do them. Before we begin today, I ask for a fresh anointing. Holy Spirit, would you take literal possession again, my mind, my mouth? I only want to say what I hear you say and do what I see you do. And with the authority you have given in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic bird that would seek to snatch the seeds that are going to be sown. I command you to release every person, be outside the walls of this building in Jesus' name. I declare today with boldness that the word will not return void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which it is sent. And I thank you again, Father, that today you will be speaking words that are not going to come out of my mouth. Your word tells us your sheep hear your voice. I ask today that every person you are speaking to directly would hear with clarity. They would capture those words because, Father, we believe a single word from you can change everything. And so speak today. I thank you for preparing every heart and every mind. And we believe today that we will not be the same again because of you. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Well, for the last number of weeks, we have been talking about where we are today, talking about the church lifting off the earth, the rapture, whether it's going to be this afternoon or in 100 years down the road, and looking at some of the things that we may have to encounter, some of the storms between now and then. We talked about being people who are either hindsight or foresight people. People who look back after things have happened and go, oh, I understand it now, but the heart of God for us to be people who look ahead and go, I know what's coming. And we talked about Jesus letting his disciples know what was coming before it happened so that when it happened, they went, he told us. We're not caught off guard. We're not shaken. We're not totally derailed. He told us. We're prepared for it. And when it happens, we can navigate through it. And what we had talked about is when every storm in our life happens, that we look at it through the lens of three words. Number one, God says, I am with you in it. Number two, what the enemy means for evil, I will turn it and work it for good. And number three, in all things, God works together for good. That is the lens that we focus on. This morning, I need to share with you what God laid in my heart, and you'll understand after we get into it why he wants us to go there. But I would like you to turn with me to one verse that I want to find out how you feel about it. Would you turn to me the book of James chapter 1? James chapter 1. Book of James is in the New Testament. James chapter 1, verse 2. I want to read it, and then I'm going to ask you a question. It says this, consider it pure joy, not just joy. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Consider it pure joy. I just want to ask you a question this morning. Would you stand with me if you are at the place where when trials come into your life, you go, I just consider this pure joy? Would you stand with me if you're there? We have only one standing, and it's because she's not at her seat. That's okay. That, Cheryl? Yeah, there she is. There she's seated. Not a single one of us this morning is at a place where we go, when trials hit me, when stuff is falling apart, when I'm being hammered, when my house is being smashed by the torrent, I stand up and go, man, I just, this is pure joy. Sweetheart, let's do more of it. And yet, the Word of God is the Word of God. The Word of God tells us that as believers, we need to get to the place where when trials come into our life, we'll talk about their coming, when trials come, the way we look at it, the way we go through it, how we experience it, we look and go, you aren't robbing my joy. I want to tell you one thing personally. How many of you have ever had a speeding ticket in your life? How many of you have ever had one? Bless God for supporting our government and for paying. That's awesome. You keep our taxes down. I have as well. I know. Thank you. I know. So it was a number of years ago already. Jane and I, we were coming back from the airport, and we're driving through Nisku, and we're on our way. We are going east through Nisku, and they have that sign that says 70 for a lot longer than it should be, in my opinion. Okay? I believe when you hit that last light, it should be 110, right from there, like boom, right? They take it halfway into the acreages down way. I think they do that just to reinforce their budget, don't you? We won't talk about that, but. So Jane and I were talking, we're just reminiscing about you know, the time that we had. One of the things we often talk about on a daily basis, I look at Jane and I say, so what was the highlight of your day? She looks and says, what was the highlight of your day, Carl? We do that regularly. We want to find out what the highlight. We're talking after our trip. We're driving, and without even thinking, not the devil made me do it, but without even thinking, my foot went a little heavier than it should have. My foot was not totally reined by the Holy Spirit. So while I'm driving down that hill and I'm heading toward the acreage and I'm approaching the 80 and the 90 mark because it should be, but that's okay, all of a sudden we hear a sound and we see the cherries flashing. And I look down and I mean, I know, right? When you know, you know. Now, there are some of you, you're looking over your back shoulder all the time. I mean, you're just, you're way over and it's like, okay, that's what you're doing. I don't do that because as a whole, I make an effort not to speed. So I end up pulling over, the cop, he pulls over, and he gets out, and we've got all of our stuff there, and I don't know, they tell you that when the cop comes to the door, the first person who speaks has the greatest control, right? So he walks up to the door, I said, hello, that was my first one. I mean, it was deep, but I wanted to have the first word. So anyway, he asks for my stuff, I give it to him, he goes back, and he does his thing, and Jane and I are sitting there, and it's like, wow, what a welcome home present this is, right? But I knew I deserved it. He comes back, he hands me all his stuff, and he looks at me and he says, I am so sorry to wreck your day. And I looked at him and I said, can I tell you, you don't have the power to wreck my day. And he just looked at me. He didn't expect that. He goes, I have never had anybody say that to me before. He goes, that is a good response. And I said, well, it's true. I say, my day was determined long before this happened, and it will continue long after this happens. You can't wreck my day. And we got up and rolled away. Now, I got to tell you, I didn't consider it all joy when we're standing there, and when I looked at the price tag on the ticket, I didn't consider that all joy, but can I tell you, in that moment, because of what was in me, I did not lose my joy. I didn't swear. I didn't blame the cop. I didn't go, that wrecked my day. I didn't live in depression for the next afternoon and the next... No. There was a joy inside of me in spite of that. I need to share with you what God laid in my heart. How do we get to a point? Because I want to tell you what we've already been talking about. Storms are going to come. We've already had storms that happen. We could talk all day about storms that are hitting, whether it's physical storms, whether it's financial storms, whether it's relational. Storms are happening in our life all the time. That is a reality. We know there's going to be some extra ones that come between now and when we leave. But I want to tell you, Jesus made a statement. He said, when storms come, I want it such that it doesn't move you. I want it such that it doesn't depress you. It doesn't cause you to begin to complain. It doesn't cause you to begin to doubt the Lord. It doesn't rob the joy. It doesn't steal the worship. You don't get to a point where it's like, oh, I'm so miserable, I can't even have devotions and pray. Have you ever been to a place where it's like, I'm so miserable, I can't even pray? Whose design is that? I want to share with you today what Jesus shared so that when trials come, we may get closer to considering it pure joy, or at least not losing the pure joy that's already in there. How many of you went to Sunday school when you were kids? Just raise your hands. Yep. How many of you didn't? Raise your hands. Yep, some of you. When I went to seminary, one of the statements they made, they said, if you didn't go to Sunday school and didn't go to church, seminary will be much easier for you. Their statement was, if you went to Sunday school and you went to church, there's going to be a lot of undoing that has to happen inside of you. Do you know why? Because Sunday school as a whole taught you to believe the stories of the Bible. The seminary I went to made an effort to undo the teaching that the Bible is not true in its entirety. And so they said, if you went to Sunday school, this is going to be much more difficult for you. Let me tell you, seminary was difficult for me. Would you turn with me back to Matthew chapter 7? I want to show you, and I got to tell you, as God was laying this in my heart, all I was thinking about is flannel graph. Flannel graph. How many of you know what a flannel graph is? How many of you have no clue what a flannel graph is? No clue. How many of you know what a record player is? How many of you have no clue what a record player is? Yeah, we've all seen it in the museum. Somebody tell me quickly, what's a flannel graph? That's it. If I could have done it, I would have made this whole thing a flannel board, and I would have had my little flannel people and my little flannel stuff. I don't know. Do we have flannel here? Are you working on boards? Flannel boards are coming back. They're around here. The rage, they're coming back. I want you to see something, and I got to tell you, how many of you ever get corrected by the Lord? When you and God are discussing things and you come up with something and he corrects you, just raise your hand. Yeah, how many of you have a problem with God correcting you? Both of you. Can I just say this? The wise man is open to correction. The fool isn't. We won't talk any more about that. But I got to tell you, as I was going through this, the Lord corrected me, and I want to show you, if I had a flannel graph, this is when God began laying this in my heart, and he made this statement. He said, the wise man builds his house upon the rock. I had a picture in my mind. Here's the ground, and here is this rock like this out of the ground. The foolish man builds his house upon the sand. The picture was like this. Here's this rock, and the wise man has this foundation and ends up building his house upon the rock. The foolish man builds his house. We'll talk about this in a minute. That was my picture. Here is the rock. And as I was spending time thinking about it and the Lord was downloading things, the Lord just kind of stopped me and says, Call, you got it wrong. Somebody tell me what's wrong with my picture. Dean. He's talking about bedrock. Anything else wrong with my picture? Huh? Oh, Mary says my rock is too pointed. Okay. Sorry, Mary. Huh? Flatter than that. Dean hit it right on. Ken? No depth. Here's what the Lord said to me, as I was talking about it, he just stopped me and he says, "Call, you got it wrong." And I was like, "Okay, what's wrong with it? Would you turn to me just really quickly, Luke chapter 6, and I want you to keep your finger in here, because we're going to come back to it. Luke chapter 6. This is the corresponding. In Luke chapter 6, he says this. He said, "I will show you what it's like." He said, "He who hears my words, comes to me, hears my words, puts them into practice, he is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid a foundation on the rock." Matthew doesn't say that, but Luke chapter 6 corrected my picture, and I had to redraw it so that the house appears to be here, but if you go down here, there is a rock bedrock foundation that was dug out, and the foundation is built upon that rock. You'll understand why that's critical in a little bit. I want you to just jot down a couple things, would you? Number one, this is the wise and this is the foolish. I want you to jot down, first of all, number one, would you write down, they both built houses. They both built houses. What is a house representing in Scripture? What's it representing? What is it? A person's life. Exactly right. Terry, would you stand up for a second? I want you to look at Terry. I want you to look at me. And I want you to see that our life are houses. And the reality is both of us are standing on the ground. Everything above the ground you can see. So if you were to look at Terry's life and you were to look at my life and you see us both worshiping, you see us both living our life, we're going through it, you look and you go, boy, both those guys have good houses, pretty solid houses. What you don't see is that underneath Terry, you go down 15 feet. He has dug it out. He has hit rock. He's got concrete. All of that is totally. You can't see that under mine. If you scratch down 1 inch, all I did was lay down some gravel and I built this thing above. You can't see what's underground. Thank you, Terry. I don't want to ask you to stand right now, but what I want you to see is that underneath every one of our lives, there is stuff that can't be seen. I'm going to say this really clearly. Some of you do not have a devotional life. We can't tell that in church. We can't see it when you're standing here worshiping. We can't see it when you come in, when you go out, when you go to work. We can't see what's under the ground. But some of you have no time in the Word, no time in prayer. You have time for everything else in your life, but there is no devotional life. How would you know that just looking at Terry and I, which one of us has a solid devotional life and which one of us is absent? How could you tell that his goes way down because he's got it, but mine has just scratched the surface and I would fall over? How could you tell? By trial. By storm. I want you to understand, Jesus made a statement. He said, both the wise man and the foolish man, they both built houses. Above the ground, you and I, everybody looks at you and I, they have no clue. What our prayer life, they have no clue. Our personal worship, they have no clue. The amount of time we spend in prayer, they have no clue. How deep our foundation is, they have no clue. how deep our roots are. Do you remember 2 weeks ago? One of the words the Lord gave in church is check your root. Grab yourself, pull on it, find out how deep that root is inside of you, because for some people, all they have to do is get a little criticism, and their root is out of the ground, and they're flailing. They both build houses. Would you write down number two? Would you write down storms will come? I want you, and I'm just going to say it out to you. Matthew 7, this is the way it describes it. It says this, verse 25, it said, the rains came, the streams rose, the wind blew, and beat against the house. Now, can I ask you, in the last number of weeks here, how many of you experienced a windburst, rain that just kind of was going almost horizontal where you lived? How many of you had that thing happen? Yeah. We lost a few trees again. We had some of our soffit on our house pulled off in that. What we didn't have, because a pile of us were out there haying during that period of time, as we stood on the hill, as we were speaking to the storms last Monday, a week ago, some of you remember that, when that big thing was coming that dropped. My mom was driving in it. She said, call. It wasn't rain. It was buckets. She goes, I was traveling 60 Ks an hour. Vehicles were in the side of the road. Wipers were going in full between New Sarepta, Fort Saskatchewan. That is when Lloydminster got hammered with hail, baseball size. Talk to Richard and Killam. You guys have how much rain in that short period of time? 3 inches of rain in that one short little burst. Damages on the roofs. Buildings that had stuff lifted and toppled, trees that were all down. We're experiencing some of this stuff. I don't remember wind like this as a kid. I don't remember it. We're experiencing stuff out on our acreage that we haven't in years gone by. But I just want you to hear that what Jesus said, he goes, understand that it's not, he didn't say if storms come. He said, the rain is going to come. The streams are going to rise. The wind is going to blow. And he says, it is going to beat against the house. Here's the deal. He's going, it is going to happen to this guy's house, and it is going to happen to this house. He's going, that's just the given. Now, Luke chapter 6, I want you to hear what it says in Luke. He says this, when the flood came and the torrent struck the house. Does that make it a little stronger? When the torrent struck the house. Now, we haven't had this. We've all seen pictures when floods have come and taken houses traveling down the rivers, waterways. We've all seen that, right? That is fresh in our mind because we're seeing that on the news more and more. I'm kind of thankful sometimes, in spite of what we enjoy the water, the ocean. I'm kind of thankful we live a little ways away from it. I'm a little thankful we live away from hurricane territory, aren't you? When those suckers come in and they take out part of Florida and they take out and they move and they take out part of the Caribbean and they leave devastation behind them, we look at that on the news and go, can't imagine. You want to go for coffee, sweetheart? These people are picking up. They're picking up. Haiti still hasn't recovered. Indonesia still hasn't recovered. It's just out of our mind. But what Jesus is talking about, apart from the physical, he's going, you need to understand that as your life as a house is being built, there is going to have things that come against you. And can I say this more clearly? If you are a believer, you're going to experience some different storms than the non-believers will. We'll talk about that in a second. The second thing is, he said, storms will come. I want, just really quickly, I want you to just speak it out. Name me some of the storms, not just going to come, but tell me some of the storms that we get hit by in our regular daily life as believers. Give me some storms. What do we get hammered by? Infidelity? Sickness? Fake news, we could do that one. Huh? Rude words. What else? Finances, storm. Relationship, storm. Depression, storm. Anxiety, worry, stress, storm. Discouragement. Our negative thinking can, the fiery darts the enemy puts in, and we just battle up here. Okay, we could talk all day about the storms that we have all had, all going through, go through, are going to go through. We could talk all day because we know they're real. You talk to any parent whose child is wayward and they're out there and they're not living for the Lord and they're making choices, you talk about the storm of that in their life. You talk the storm of a believing spouse whose spouse is not a believer and the tension, the conflict. There is a reason, can I say? There's a reason the Lord says, do not be unequally yoked. Do you know that? That's a storm that some people bring upon themselves. We're going to come back to this in a second. Would you write down number three? Would you write down the word contrast? The word contrast. Jesus in his story looked and he said, there is a person who is a wise man, and when the storm came, their house did not fall. He goes, there is another man who's a foolish man. When the storm came, their house fell. In fact, what it says really clearly, it said in Luke, it says this, the moment the torrent struck the house, it said it collapsed and its destruction was complete. The moment the torrent hit this house, it fell and its destruction was complete. Can I just say to you what you already know? If I'm the enemy, I have one goal in your life. Guess what it is? Steal, kill, destroy. My goal is to destroy your house. My goal is to throw such stuff at you that you eventually fall, that will hit you and hit you, and eventually it will be complete and total destruction. Can I ask you, how successful am I in this world? Last night, Jane and I were speaking to a sergeant of the Edmonton City Police who made a statement and said, in the last number of months since Black Lives Matter, there have been two policemen in Edmonton who committed suicide just because of the pressure, because of all the stuff that has come down. He goes, normally you don't experience that in a year. The design of the enemy is to take your and my house and to do whatever he can in order to bring it to nothing. I will never forget. I've told you before, you're going to hear it until Jesus comes back from me. When Chuck Swindoll made a statement, he goes, it takes 40 years to grow a tree. He said, all it takes is a few chops of an axe to chop it down. He's going, that is the truth of a person's life. You can build a character, you can build a marriage, you can build a family, you can build a ministry. For years, you could have that. And in a few stupid decisions, that entire thing can crumble down to the ground. How many men, their character and their lives have been destroyed? The house they built was destroyed over one stupid infidelity decision. We can talk about what the enemy uses in our life every day. But my goal is to take out your house. My goal is to flatten it. My goal is to make sure that when the trials and difficulties come over here, not alone the ones that are coming before we leave, but if these ones can flatten you, what are these ones going to do? The Bible says this, when the foot soldiers come and you're already worn out? What's going to happen when those on horses come? If you're struggling standing with the small storms that are coming, what's going to happen when the big suckers hit? What Jesus is saying is, there are two different people out there, and they are in those positions because of choices they made. And here's the choice. There is one who did this, and there is one who did this. And I would like us to talk about that for a moment. I want to ask you, how would you describe this person who built their house on the sand? Jesus called him a foolish man. But I want to ask you, how would you describe the character of that person? How would you describe them? Weak? Lazy? Hurried or rushed? Damaged? Fearful? Prideful? Self-centered? Cheap? Anything else? Ignorant? Double-minded? Did someone say doubting? Oh, rebellious. Let's talk about this person for a second. Can I ask you a question? What is required here as compared to what wasn't required here? Work? Preparation? Money? Faith? Thoughtful? Time? Trusting, persistence. Knowledge, persistence, huh? Planning, yep, we got that, preparation and planning. Did you say YouTube? Just hang on, I'm going to go to my Bible and see if that's in there somewhere. Nope, I reject that, that's not in there. Research, YouTube, okay. I want you to just get really quickly. I would love for Jesus to be here right now and just explain and go, guys, I just want you to get this. There is a person over here, and they would not see themselves this way. They would not go, oh, I'm a foolish person. They're going to go, this is just easier. This is just faster. Right now, everything is good. The weather's fine. I'm not concerned. In fact, I've watched other people who built their house on the sand, and they seem to be doing okay. In fact, there's other ones who built their house on the edge of cliffs, and it's beautiful scenery. It's very expensive. Until the flood comes and the water comes and they're falling off the cliffs in Edmonton. Right? Look, can I just say this to you? I look around at some people's lives. They don't discipline themselves. They don't carve out time for devotions and prayer. They don't get into the Word. They don't fast. They don't worship privately. They don't do any of the spiritual disciplines that cause a person, and they seem to be okay. In fact, some of them, this is really horrible, some of them seem to really be prospering. They build the house on the sand, they don't do any of the hard work that does this thing, and it seems like this is good. Can I just say this to you? If you were a child and you were raised in a home where you had a parent who built this kind of a life in a house, what is the tendency for you to become this kind of a person? What's the tendency? Let me tell you, as a whole, a child is going to build the way the parent did, or actually build a little less than the parent did. How many of you grew up, when you woke up in the morning, you walked in the living room, and consistently you caught your parent on their knees, in the presence of God, praying, crying out, warring You caught them over and over and over. You were raised with the image of a parent warring in the presence of God. How many of you had that almost every day of your life? A handful. Jesus is making a statement and he goes, this person here, they lack the ability to know that storms are going to come, and when they come, everything you have not done is going to be tested. I got to say this to you. Jane and I talk about everything. I'm so blessed to be married to my best friend, work with her. But I got to tell you, there are times when we observe people in our life who seem to get hit with something that from our perspective doesn't seem to be very big. And yet it devastates them. It just wastes them. They are just depressed. They are moving into complaining. It's like, where is God? The doubt is there. It's unbelievable. And it seems like a small stone hit them. We look and go, that is such a small thing. And yet their house is crumbling. And we don't even ask the question why, because we know why. Jesus, and I want to just say what you already know, the heart of the Father with every one of his children is to have their house that is built on the foundation, on the rock, going, the storms are coming, guys. They're going to hit you. The flood is going to rise. The torrent is going to smash your house. It's going to beat against it. That is what's going to happen. It's going to. You're my kids. It's going to. I want you to have a foundation so that when it does come, when it hits you, you are not moved. Your house does not shift. It does not even sway in the storm. You will never catch a house of God built on the foundation. You will never catch it on the news going down the river and going over the bank. You'll never do it. The heart of the Father for his children is, I want you to have your house on such a firm foundation. Let all of hell break against it. Try and cause you to fall. You will be on that foundation. When I come back, my bride will be solid. My bride will be firm. My bride will be unbroken. And I'm going to take it off its foundation, and we're going for eternity. That is his heart for every one of us. I want to tell you what you already know. My character has not been tested to the point where my total foundation has been revealed. When I look at what some people around the world are going through, when I look at what happens to them physically, spiritually, what happens to their families, their children, when I see the price they pay, when I hear the stories of the prison and the loss of life and the punishment, their foundations are tried to the core. I've had some storms. I've been hit by some things, but I want to tell you, I have not been hit with what others are being hit, and I have not been hit probably the way that in the future we're going to be. Can I say, I don't know there's one of us in this room who have been hit with the full force of the enemy's torrent. Maybe some, different degrees. But between now and when the church disappears, with the enemy's goal to cause every one of us to topple off of our foundation, God is going, I want you in the category of the wise man. I want you in the place where it doesn't matter what comes at you, it will not move your house, it will not move your character, it doesn't matter what hits you, when your mouth opens up, there will not be complaining, there will not be doubt, there will not be cursing, there will not be blaming, there will not be, where is God in the storm? Instead, in the storm, our mouth opens up and it's like, God, thank you that I'm not alone. Let's worship, shall we? We're in prison and we got chains. Let's worship, shall we? They just beat us and broke all the bones in our feet. Let's worship, shall we? How do we get to the point where we can count it all joy when we are hit I am not going to ask you to tell anybody, to reveal to anybody. Some of you who are hearing me today, you know that your house is on the sand. It is so unstable. It is so shaky. There are small things that are hitting you, and you are already depressed. You are already stressed to the max. You are already taking medication because you cannot take what's happening in your life. Some of you are there. Some of you are about 1 inch. Some of you two. I don't know where you are. And I really don't want the storms to hammer you to find out. But what I do know is what Jesus said. When the storm comes, what happens to your house will reveal your foundation. I want us to be incredibly clear about something. Jesus laid it out and said, here is the difference between a wise man and a foolish man. Number one, first of all, he said this. The wise man hears my word. Can I ask you a question? Does the foolish man also hear the word? Yes, he does. Let's make that really clear. Both the wise man and the foolish man hear the word. Here's where it separates. What does the wise man do? Let's break this down just a second. The wise man believes it. The foolish man knows it. Do you know there are a lot of people out there who know a lot of scripture? They know a lot about God. They know a lot, but their roots are about a half inch deep. Let me tell you what we've already talked about. There's not one of us in here who does what we know. We do what we believe. There are people in here who know that eating massive amounts of sugar will cause damage to your body. We know that. And yet, what do they continue to do? Eat sugar. Knowing it changes nothing. There are some people in here who go, I believe that sugar does major damage to your body. I believe that, and because of it, guess what they've done? They remove almost all the sugar from their body. There's people who know that hours of gaming on the computer, they know that's not good for them spiritually, not good for their marriage, not good for their life. They know that. But guess who the people are who shut the computer off and invest more time in relationship or more time with the word, the ones who know it or the ones who believe it? The ones who believe. The foolish man knows the word. And here's what Jesus is talking about. He's going, the wise and the foolish, they're both in the church, by the way. He's not talking about non-believers here. He's talking about believers. They're both in the church. They both know the word. But here's where it separates. He goes, the wise man hears the word, and then he what? Acts on it. The foolish man hears it, knows it, does nothing. Not obedient. Doesn't put it into practice. Would you turn with me to the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22. I would like you to just set your eyes on this. I'd like you to do more than hear it. I would like you to read it. James, chapter 1, verse 22. Some of you know this off by heart. The Holy Spirit said this, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Can I just say to you, a huge deception in the body of Christ right now is that there are people who go, if I hear the word, if I hear it, that's all I need to do. In fact, I'm doing good. If I hear it, I'm doing good. He goes, there are people who believe that if I hear the word, they listen to the word, they listen to it, they believe they're doing what they should, and it says they merely listen to it, they are deceived. He says this, do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word and does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror, after looking at himself, goes away, immediately forgets what he looks like. Jane and I are listening to a series by Keith Moore. And I'll never forget, Keith makes a statement. He said, I'm a doer. He goes, I'm a doer. He goes, I'm a doer. He said, I needed to get past the place where I was just a hearer. I needed to get to the place where I was a doer. And then he has everybody in the church go, just say it, I'm a doer. There is a lot of people in church can't say that. They can go, I'm a hearer. I'm a hearer. But I'm not a doer. Jesus said this, those who fall into this category are hearers, they are knowers, but they are not doers. As a result of that, this is their foundation. The wise man hears, believes, and then acts upon the word. The one thing in the wise man's life is missing in the foolish, and it is obedience. Obedience. I want to give you one thing in closing today. I want to give you this part. I don't think we have to wait till the storm happens to find out how deep our roots are, how deep our foundation, how solid we are on the rock. We don't have to wait till the storm. The Word gives us the total answer long before we get there. We can write down over here and go, these are the things that create this foundation. These are the ones that are missing in this person's life. He made it crystal clear. We don't have to guess. Let's write it down, shall we? What creates the foundation that makes it so they do not move? These are people of the Word. These are people of the Word. If I was the enemy, I would do everything in my power to make sure that in your day, there is almost zero time in your day that you invest in the Word. And if you did end up in the Word, I'd make sure that you just read it quickly. You did your 5 or 10 minute, you closed it up and you went off because other things were more important. I would make sure that you looked in the mirror, you saw it, but when you walked away, that's as deep as it went. I want to give you a scripture that changed my life years ago in Colossians chapter 3. Would you write it down? Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, it said this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I want you just to ask yourself the question, the sand person, the word is absent. The foundation person, the word dwells richly inside. Not just reading it, can I make it clear? Meditating on it, studying it, memorizing it, understanding it, getting to a place where the Word is alive. When something happens, the first thing that rises up, the Holy Spirit brings up the Word in that moment with understanding, and we can handle it like a sword. The foolish man does not have that. This person has it powerfully. Would you write down the next? The wise man hears the voice of the Spirit. The foolish man does not hear. Can I ask you a question? And I might get into a little bit of trouble from this, but I'll try and explain it. Is knowing the Logos or the written word of God enough in our life to navigate from here to the end of time? Is it enough? No. You know what Jesus said when he was alive? He was surrounded by people who just immersed themselves in the written word, immersed themselves in the Torah. That's all they did was study, study, study. He looks at them and goes, you look in the word to try and find life, but you miss it. It's standing in front of you, but you have missed it. Can I say, apart from the Spirit of God and the Rhema word of God, this is not enough. Question? When the Spirit of God tells a wise man, I don't want you to go to work today. That's weird. I go to work every day. Haven't had a sick day. Look at my record. I'm good. In fact, last year I got the award for it. And I wake up this morning and the Spirit of God says, do not go to work today. And I know it's the Spirit of God, so I go, this is totally contrary to my character, but I know this is the voice of the Lord and I'm not going to work today. And you stay home and you kind of wonder all day long what's going on, and all of a sudden you turn on the news at 8 in the morning and you find out the Twin Towers that you work in have been bombed and they're falling to the ground, and every person who didn't hear stay home today went to work and experienced the cost. The one scripture that changed my life is when David inquired of the Lord before going into battle, said, God, what do we do? God said, David, I want you to take your men, hide them behind the balsam trees. When you hear the sound of marching soldiers on the top of the balsam trees, go out to battle. And I'm sitting here thinking, where is that in Scripture? Where would he have read that kind of instruction, how to defeat the enemy, in the Bible, in what they had in the old? Where would he have got that? You know what? Unless he heard with clarity, and this is before Holy Spirit, unless he heard with clarity, how would he have ever known to take down the enemy by hiding? Can I tell you, when I read that scripture, it planted inside of me such an absolute desperate ache going, God, in every scenario, I want to inquire from you. I need to hear with clarity and specific, because I'm not going to hear hide in the word in order to defeat that. I need to hear it with absolute clarity. It planted an ache inside of me that has not gone away. Can I say to you with clarity? The wise man hears the Rhema word of the Holy Spirit. The foolish man goes through their life I'm not going to read it, but I want you to look at the verse in Matthew just before. In fact, the scripture in Matthew chapter 7, it begins, Jesus begins by going, therefore. And you always know, you know it, when therefore is for a reason, you go, what's it there for? Right above that, he makes this statement. He said, not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do my will. He said, there's going to be those people who come and say, God, did we not prophesy in your name? God, did we not do miracles in your name? God, did we not do all this stuff in your name? And he's going to go, I never knew you. Can I tell you why? If you and I know the authority in the name of Jesus, we know the authority. Is it possible for me to use the name without his permission? Can I ask you a question? Has anybody ever used your credit card without your permission? Piles of us have had that. There are children who will actually glow places and go, hi, I'm Colin Houck's son. As a result of that, could I have that from you? They go, oh, you're Colin's son. No problem, you can have that. And I find out later, they didn't have my permission. Are there children who ever use their parents' name without permission? You know what Jesus is saying? He's going, there's people who use my name without my permission. They just use it. They go, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And he's going, no, 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 no. You can't use it just because you know authority. You can't use it without my permission. Inquire. Ask me. Can you imagine if Jesus would have walked on the earth using his power and authority anywhere he wanted to? There will be those who use his name wrongly. Would you write down underneath this one? The wise man makes the choice to believe the word. There's a lot of Christians who are not believers. Let's just make it really clear. The wise man makes a choice to believe the word. When God says, they make a choice to believe it, and as a result of it, they make a choice to act on it. Obedience is what will separate the foolish man from the wise man. I want to write one more underneath this. Would you just write down worship? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, where it makes that statement, let the word of God dwell in you richly, it makes this statement right after it. It says, and let us sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Why would worship be a part of laying a foundation with the Lord? Can I tell you why? Because when we begin to worship, the presence of God manifests in a powerful way. We know we're not alone. Things happen in the spiritual realm. Worship, people who have a life of practice worship privately, not just publicly, privately, takes their foundation to a different level than people who have no worship. I just want to make it very clear. This foundation is laid as a result of this. You will not find these things in the foolish man Christian. Let me reinforce again. Jesus said the rain is going to come. The streams are going to rise. The wind is going to blow. The torrent is going to hit your and my house. It's going to. The question will be, at the end of it all, destroyed completely, unmoved by the storm. The only way I could have made this more clear is on flannel graph. Any questions before we end? Any questions? Dana, could I have you work your way to the front? Dean? It's a great question. So what Dean is saying is this. First of all, Dean made a statement, and I said, we can't use Jesus' name without permission. The truth is, people do it without permission all the time. So we can. We are not to. Second was this. If the house that I have built in my life was built on wrong decisions, based on wound, based on past, based on all of that brokenness, and I all of a sudden discover that my foundation is not at all or very shallow, do I begin to build a foundation under this house, or do I take this whole house and put it on a brand new foundation? Can I ask you a question? How many of you who were wounded in the past experienced 100% instantaneous healing in your life? Every area. How many of you had that? Not one of us. Let me tell you how the Lord does it. As we begin to walk in relationship with the Lord and begin to put these things in place, I love what someone said. Jesus just doesn't come and renovate our house and turn it what it should be. He actually comes and rebuilds it to what it was supposed to be. It seems like renovation, but it ends up that we become a new creature. How many people's lives, as they came to the Lord and their house was disaster, as God empowered them to lay this foundation, you look at their house today and go, that can't even be the same person. That's what he does. He's a master carpenter. He knows how to build the characters of people's lives. It's a great question, Dee. Anything else? Would you bow? Harold? Yep. Harold said we used to sing a chorus in Sunday school. Do you know it? Could you sing it for us, Harold? The truth is, I was singing it this morning. I mean, that is, the kids grew up with that. We grew up with that. Huh? No, I've asked Harold to sing it, and he's not going to do it. So if you want to come, we'll do a duet, but Ron. Yep. That's a great one. So Ron is making the statement and said, there's a place in Scripture where the disciples came and said, Jesus, there's people over there baptizing in your name, and they're not part of our group. And he makes a statement, and he goes, if they're not against us, they're for us. Can I ask you a question? Was it possible that those people were being Spirit-led in what they were doing? Absolutely. Really, what he's saying, you break it down, he goes, those who are led by my Spirit, they are with us. Those who are not led or tradition, they are against us. That's the distinction. That's a good clarification. Yes. I totally do. So the question is, are we not supposed to come boldly to the throne of grace? Absolutely. That curtain has been torn in two. I think the best picture is JFK's little kid running through the White House, growing into the Oval Office, jumping onto daddy's knee, bypassing all the protocols of the president because that's dad. So what do? As children, boldly into the presence, boldly inquire of the Lord, boldly find out what it is God wants us to do and how he wants us to do it, and then believe dad and be obedient. And again, we talked about it before, Jesus made this statement, how do you know those who love me? They will obey me. That's the simple litmus test. That's a good thought. Anybody else? Would you bow with me? Dana, could I have you play quietly? I'm not going to ask any of you to share anything about the truth of the foundation underneath your house. That is only between you and the Lord. Jesus did say that whether we're living in the end times or whether we're living for Christ, there are going to be storms. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. But the heart of the Father is that not one of his children, when the storm hits, should experience any destruction, any devastation, any collapse. He has made a way for every house built on the rock to stand. That was true in the years before us. That is true in the years that are coming, or the days or the weeks that are coming. We are living in a world today unlike any other. If these are the latter days, the latter years, there will be things unleashed upon the globe and upon believers that only a foundation on the rock will allow a person to stand. Right now I'm asking Holy Spirit in every person's life that you would begin to reveal with clarity the truth of what's under us, the part that is not seen. Jesus, I am so thankful that you did not come to bring condemnation, but you did come to bring conviction. So right now, between you and the Lord, as he is showing you the truth of what's under you, as he allows you to look back at some of the storms that have hit you in the recent and how it affected you, how it affected your emotions, how it affected your sleep, how it affected your words. Right now, between you and the Lord, would you make the cry of your heart known? I'd like you to open your eyes, if you would, and have a look at me. I will never forget a number of years ago when we had a ministry team came to the church and they did a skit. I've shown it to you before. And there was a group of young people who said when they walked into the church, they came in and their posture was on their knees. This is how they walked. This is all they'd ever known in the world. And they came into church and they worshiped and they heard a message that was powerful, and it told them they didn't have to be on their knees their entire life, that God made it so they could stand on their feet and run and move with freedom. And as he was preaching, the Spirit just stirred inside of them, and some of them risked, and they got up and they tried their legs, and they were standing and they were had on their feet. They were worshiping. It was like amazing, amazing, off their knees and stand. They never experienced that before. And the service closed, and the pastor gave the benediction, and he released the people, and the people turned around and started walking out, and within two steps, they went down on their knees, and they walked out the same way they came. They were hearers. They were not doers. I want to say to you today, I have shared with you to the best of my ability what the Lord is wanting us to hear. The choice we make is to be a hearer or a doer. If the enemy had his way, you would walk out of here and there would be zero change in your life, zero change in the way you lay your foundation, zero change in how you spend your time, your money, your energy. There would be zero change. Zero. Status quo. But I believe the Spirit of God is stronger than that. I believe the Spirit of God has heard the prayers that have been prayed for this service, my prayers this week, that today we would walk out of here. Today the Spirit of God would plant inside of us the reality of what is coming in the future, going, I am going to be a wise man. I don't care what anybody else does around me. I don't even care what my spouse does. They have to choose their own. But me, I'm going deep. Me, I'm digging. Me, I'm going to do the hard work. I'm going to memorize scripture when no one else is doing it because it's not cool anymore. I'm going to fast because I need to hear with clarity. I am going to move my worship from public 45 minutes one week into private, and I'm going to become a worshiper. I refuse to be a hearer only. Because I will not be in the camp of a foolish man when the torrent hits, that my life collapses. I will not be. If you can say it with me, I'm a doer. I am a doer. I'm a doer. Father, today, no man has ever changed long term by the voice of a man, but changed by your voice. Today, would you speak? Holy Spirit, we may have come in on our knees, but you have lifted us off our knees. Can we walk out on our feet and legs? And would you empower us to lay a foundation that no storm, no torrent, no flood, and after it passes, the testimony of my life is that I am still standing because my foundation is solid. I declare to you today what you already know. The Lord has blessed you and He's keeping you. The Lord has caused His face to shine on you and He has been gracious to you. The Lord has lifted up His countenance upon you and filled you with His peace in the storm. I declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And everybody believing said, amen. God bless you, wise man. God bless you that you are a doer and not a hearer. Lay that foundation deep. Have an awesome week. See you next Sunday.